Today, of course, the Feast of Corpus Christi. After Mass today, I should say during the Mass, at the Agnus Dei, the MC will bring up to the altar the monstrance in which our Lord will be placed and then placed above the tabernacle for the rest of the Mass and showing forth in that monstrance. Then we'll carry our Lord in public procession. We'll leave the chapel. We'll go around the outside of the chapel through the parking lot. And we have two altars set up outside where we will have the benediction of the Blessed Sacrament, stopping at those two altars before we finally process in here again and have our final benediction before our Lord and with our Lord here before the high altar. And after the ceremonies this evening, after the processions, etc., we could use a few extra hands to bring in the altars and the candlesticks, etc., from the outdoor altar, so please lend some hands after the procession. The epistle appointed to be read for the Feast of Corpus Christi is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and giving thanks, broke and said, Take ye and eat, this is my body, which shall be delivered for you. This do for the commemoration of me. In like manner also the chalice, after he had supped, saying, This chalice is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as often as you shall drink, for the commemoration of me. For as often as you shall eat of this bread, and drink of the chalice, you shall show the death of the Lord until he come. Therefore, whosoever shall eat this bread or drink the chalice of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and of the blood of the Lord. But let a man prove himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of the chalice. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh judgment to himself, not discerning the body of the Lord. And the Holy Gospel. This Gospel taken from St. John, chapter 6, verses 56 through 59. At that time Jesus said to the multitude of the Jews, My flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood abideth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, the same also shall live by me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. Those are the words of today's Holy Gospel. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, during the most sacred solemnity of Corpus Christi, as we celebrate this evening, we commemorate the ineffable love of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love that he has for mankind in instituting the most holy sacrament of the altar. And all of our thoughts, all of our inspirations are concentrated on that great mystery. There are many fruits that can be gained to the faithful from this august sacrament. But what are the chief fruits of this great holy sacrament? Upon those who receive it worthily. Our Lord has told us, He that eateth this bread shall live forever. Now, that doesn't mean, of course, that one who receives communion automatically will be saved in heaven. Now what our Lord says is that He will provide for us the means of living forever. Well, all things that live have an instinctive horror of death. Even rational beings, by a law of nature, we yearn for immortality. And it was ordered to satisfy this desire, the desire for immortality, that the living bread has come down from heaven to communicate himself to us, that we might receive that seed, the seed of immortality. That is the seed that is to blossom unto eternal life. This immortality is twofold. Just as our nature is twofold, we have a body and we have a soul. There's the life of the body. There's the life of the soul. there is in the nature and the natural and the supernatural life. And the Holy Eucharist is the seed of immortality for both the soul and the body. But the life that He bestows and preserves is not our natural life, the natural life of the body. But that which it preserves and bestows upon us is our supernatural life. By our nature, our soul is immortal. It will never die. We have been brought into this world out of nothing because of the goodness of God. And we will live forever. Our soul will never go out of existence. The natural life of the soul is to continue in eternity. And it is the Holy Eucharist that gives us the strength to be able to arrive at eternal life. It's the kind of life, the union with our Lord, that we yearn for. And it is this what the Blessed Sacrament confers upon us. Even our body. Our body, by its very nature, is mortal. It will die, it will go into the grave, and it will corrupt. Everyone in the world will die the natural death. But the body is capable of a supernatural immortality, whether in the state of the accursed union of the reprobate in hell, or of the blessed union that the saints will enjoy in heaven. Well, it's the latter of these two, the union with the saints of heaven, that the immortality of our body, it is conferred by the Holy Eucharist. It's because the soul and the body, being fed and nourished by the body and blood of Christ, become one with Him. Our body, even though it will die, even though it will corrupt, will enjoy the rewards of eternal life when one saves their souls. Because it is the soul and the body that work together in this life to avoid sin and the occasions of sin. And therefore, the reward that comes for living a good, holy life is that the body will become immortal. It will be renewed again, be recreated anew by God Himself. It is the Holy Eucharist that gives us the means to have that renewed body. But the Holy Eucharist feeds and nourishes the one who receives it. Food and nourishment are necessary for both the body and the soul. All living things must be nourished, or they will inevitably die. And our blessed Lord has, in His infinite goodness, provided our souls with the most sublime food, His own body and blood, which, being received by the faithful, becomes the very life of our own soul. If, of course, it is worthily received. The Holy Eucharist produces upon the soul effects similar to what material food does to the body. Natural food, that which you eat, is converted into the living substance of our body. It renews us. It repairs the damages of the worn out and defective parts. It gives us life. It gives us vigor in our natural life. It brings to maturity that which is undeveloped, until the whole body reaches its proper maturity. But so too does the Holy Eucharist do for the supernatural life. The supernatural life that is begun in our souls with sanctifying grace in our baptism needs to reach its proper maturity. The spiritual life needs to have vim and vigor. And the Holy Eucharist strengthens the soul against temptations. It repairs and it renews whatever is worn and defective in our spiritual state through the wear and the tear of the conflicts which we wage every day for our salvation. It causes the soul to grow and develop in sanctity and perfection. But unlike natural food, which is changed into our body, our supernatural food transforms us into the likeness of our Lord. The Blessed Sacrament is the food of our souls, and it must be a habitual food. My dear faithful, if one natural meal is not sufficient to keep our bodies alive for an entire year, how can one suppose that one or two communions a year would be able to satisfy and provide the strength and vim and vigor for the supernatural life. If we have a due regard for our souls, we would come as often as possible to refresh our souls with the bread of life. But some would say that they are not worthy to communicate so often. We should consider what we say when we receive our Lord. Lord, I am not worthy that Thou shouldst come under my roof. Our Lord commanded us to receive Him, and therefore we have no alternative but to obey. Provided, of course, one is in the state of grace and in good dispositions. One should not be kept away by the occupations and the cares of the world, or even by temptations, for temptations are not sins. Remember the words of St. Paul, "Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor might, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus." And who is it that we receive? It is our Lord Jesus Christ. The very reason we receive Holy Communion, besides fulfilling the desire of our Lord to come and rest on the altar of our hearts, is because we need strength to overcome all of the thousands of temptations that plague us each and every day. One must not say, "Oh, I'm not good enough to go to communion. I have so many things I have to fight, so many enemies that I must vanquish, that I'm not good enough to go receive our Lord in Holy Communion." That'd be like a soldier going onto the battlefield and saying, "I have so many enemies, I must not fight, I must put down my armor and let my enemies overcome me." But our Lord has told us very, very clearly. He says, "Come to me, all you that labor and are burdened, and I will refresh you." The Holy Eucharist unites us to our Lord Himself. It is the love of the Sacred Heart shown to us in the most wondrous way. For men, it says in the Sacred Scriptures, no greater love does man have than to lay down his life for his friends. A man cannot show his love in any greater way than to give his life for his beloved, but not for our Lord. What is impossible to man is not impossible to our Lord. He laid down his life, yes. He laid down his life on Calvary for us, but that wasn't sufficient to satisfy the longing and the love of the Sacred Heart. He wanted to be in union with us, and therefore He gave Himself to us as the food of our spiritual life. My dear faithful, recall to mind the sobering fact that our Lord does not give Himself to everyone. He chooses those whom He pleases to receive Holy Communion, to receive Him. Those whom He has chosen to receive the true Catholic faith, they, the chosen ones, have the right and they have the opportunity to receive our Lord into their hearts. What a debt of gratitude do we owe to Almighty God. He's given us the faith, and He gives Himself to us to communicate to us the divine principle of life. When we receive our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, we receive God Himself. What an astounding mystery. Relish the gift of Corpus Christi. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.